Welcome to the next episode of Fujoshi NYC. Right here.
May.
We're recording at a new location today. Hopefully it's a little bit better than before. We're not sure if we can be recording at this location every single time, but when we can, we'll try to.
There was like, I don't know what streets you had to pass through to get here. There was a horrible, like where they have to repair part of the sidewalk, so they just block off half of it over there, and it took forever just to get onto this street.
Oh my god. Not to mention, since it is in the Times Square area, it's like, it's pretty filled with all the tourists. But any case, May, what have you been reading, watching this past week?
Oh, well, I played a little Smash Brothers because it came out yesterday.
Oh, for which console?
This Switch.
Oh!
Well, more like Peter played and I watched him because he helped me unlock some characters.
Nice!
But I didn't play the fighting part. I played like, well, okay, the spirits part has fighting part too. But that's the part I played where you collect spirits.
Is there a story mode for the Smash Brothers?
Yeah, that spirit thing.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, they've like turned everybody into spirits and then turned other ones into fighters, and then the spirits took over the fighters or something.
Oh, that really is a really unique story.
I think maybe Celeste from Animal Crossing was inside Jigglypuff.
That is very weird.
But that meant Jigglypuff wore a cool bowl.
So we have like different characters inside other characters.
I read some more Fujoshi Lumi. And there, it's like a part that was like almost BL, but then it's like, oh, it's part of her imagination, isn't it? Because it seemed like Chiba and, oh my god, I forgot the main guy's name. We're really going at it.
So at the beginning you thought like, oh, this is like for real in there, what's happening, but it seems like it's through her eyes.
She's making up a story. She and Matsui are both making up a story.
Doujinshi?
It's in their mind. They were trying to explain a kiss that happened between the guys. That part wasn't their imagination. That's why the
oh, I see.
That's why the BL that occurred only in their heads appeared.
It's always interesting when Fujoshi gets to like view something.
And then Matsui, even though she's a Fujoshi, she admitted to Chiba that she doesn't want him kissing anybody, even if
it was a guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, there are limits for Fujoshi we'll go through. You watch anything else?
Did I? I watched part of the second episode of Magical Girl Ore.
Oh, nice. Anything interesting happening?
It's very funny. Well, he wants some like magical items to help defeat the enemies, and the mascot gangster guy gives her like, he's like, oh, those hairpins turn into grenades. And she's like, do you have something like less conspicuous? And he's like, oh, how about this magical handgun?
Oh no.
And then he's like, she didn't want that either. So and he's like, how about this? And it's like a magic wand thingy. And she's like, great, what does this magical thing do? He's like, isn't that magical? You have to beat them with it.
Oh no. It's very brutal.
Yeah, she's all bloody by then.
Oh my god.
This is to show you.
This is so different from Binan. Because Binan is like, they actually use the power of love and magic and friendship.
And they actually have cute mascots.
Yeah, they have cute mascots. Magical Ore is like, you know, a mixture between like, you know, bloody fighting action with Maho Shonen type things. I watched the last episode of, the latest episode for Banana Fish. And it's getting really, really, really sad. We only have like two more episodes to go with Banana Fish, I believe. And I'm like next to crying already.
Is this like the end? Where?
Well, we're nearing the end. Because in this one, AG got shot. I can show you that later too. Because they in the last couple episodes, it's like it's always interchanging between Ash and AG's like, you know, their relationship with each other, or like, you know, how they act around each other. And then after that, like, you know, the entire mafia is going after them. So different groups of people are going after them. And the latest, we have, like, actually military people from, like, a foreign government going after them that the mafia hired. So they ended up actually shooting AG. So it ends in a cliffhanger with AG getting shot.
Yeah. But is it, like, the end nearing where what's his name is gonna die? Wait, should I cut that part out?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, because we know what happened in that manga.
Yeah, I should cut this part out, or yeah, that's...
no, it's all right. Because Banana Fish is an old series, so, like, people who, like, know, obviously there's gonna be quite a bit of spoilers. So, yeah, we are, like, it's... The anime has gone through the entire series. So, there is two more episodes left, and we are probably gonna have, like, that kind of ending.
Unless they change it, like...
Yes, unless they change it.
Which might make some people angry, and might make some people happy.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's this J-drama I watched. I can't remember what it's called now. But, like, there's a housewife... Oh, maybe it was called Housewife Detective. Anyway, I don't think that's what it's called. Anyway, this housewife became a detective. And then, like, I think in the drama, because, like, some really popular guy plays her husband, they stay together. But in the comic book, she leaves him. I mean, they still remain friends, but she leaves him. He cheated on her, and then she leaves him and is with the detective, and they have, like, two kids.
Oh, I feel like for dramas, like live action dramas,
that's such a big change.
Yeah, but that's not the only time, like, I see them do that. For dramas, I feel like they take a lot of liberties with the change. Usually for anime and manga, they might, like, you know, go in one direction or the other, but usually they try to, like, you know, for some, like, there is, like, faithful adaptations. But for live action drama, so far from what I've seen, I don't think there's any that's actually straight. Like, you know, there is, I guess one way we can think, like, it's sometimes it's hard to adapt something, like, that happened in a, you know, fictionally, like, you know, and actually act it out with a person. Like, last week when we were talking about Honda-san, what happens if they actually got a live-action drama of a really cute ikemen for Honda? It'll be weird.
Oh, I wanted to say something about bookstores, but I can't remember it now.
You mean, like, from last time when we were trying to say something about Honda-san?
No, it wasn't about Honda-san. It was about, something I learned about a bookstore, but I can't remember it anymore.
Aw. Well, if it comes up, just bring it up then.
Okay.
I thought of it
because it, like, maybe it contradicted with something I saw in Honda-san.
Was it about Japanese bookstores?
I don't know.
Oh. Was it about Borders or Barnes & Noble?
Possibly.
Because, yeah, our U.S. bookstores are, like, really different. Well, May, let's talk about the last episode of Dakaichi that we saw, the latest one. So, we're back to the plot.
I didn't want to watch it. I considered it. I was like, oh, maybe just watch it after the 12th episode or whatever it comes out.
Because, like, it's open-ended?
Well, because then it'll be happier if I can see it all together.
Is the next episode the last episode, or there's two more?
I don't know. I don't actually look these things up.
Well, considering we're only in the first week of December, so if it goes up to the very end, there should be just two more episodes.
They should make a Christmas episode.
I really do wish. Like, if they actually finish the story, whatever hell story they want to go into next episode, and they can end with a Christmas episode.
Well, they would have to make one up. I don't think there was one in the comic.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think there was one. I don't know. I only skimmed it, but I'm pretty sure.
I see. I don't even remember which series did that, but, like, there's been some series that ended with, like, you know, they'll end the actual story and then the next episode will be, like, a side story or something like that. But in any case, this episode opens, like, you know, following closely after the previous episode, which was Saijo finishes his Budai run.
He wants to show his feelings more.
Yes. And Ayagi, in the last episode, in the last performance, had a lot of NG shots, so he ended up having to sell programs in his outfit. I feel like if he's the one actually selling outfit, is selling programs, he's gonna get a lot of sales.
Yeah, it's the lead selling programs.
Yeah, exactly. That was so funny.
What do you do? Pass by him and be like, nope, no thanks.
Exactly. Yo was like, I already bought a pro, I'm gonna buy another one. Maybe he'll even sign it or something.
Okay. Like if Christy was signing programs, I'd be like, I want five of them.
I wonder if they, no, they don't, right? I wonder, like, do Butais actually have stage door?
I don't know. I've never been to Japan.
Yeah, that's one thing I never thought about. Like, performances, Broadway, they still do stage door. Okay, but that's like digressing. But anyway, so we go afterwards, and we follow after the previous episode, and Azumaya and Takato is hanging out in the dressing room. Hanging out, quote-unquote, because they're not really hanging out. They're actually doing stuff together.
Azumaya thinks of everything, like on the beach, he thought of everything, and then in the dressing room, he thought
he's got
everything.
The sign all prepared.
Doesn't tell Saijo, but he thinks of everything.
That's one of the main issues about Azumaya, because he doesn't tell Saijo anything. He just does
Saijo
stuff.
Saijo would just say no.
Exactly. No, he didn't really say no. He's like, see, sure, go ahead.
Just lock the door.
Just lock the door.
Yeah, but if he said it first, I think Saijo would just say no.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, by the way, I locked the door and put a sign on it. And then Saijo would be like, what? Take that sign down immediately and unlock the door.
we get more of his sexy face, though. That was really good. Unfortunately, well, hold on. First, they get a call from their managers, and they find out that the Midday Star is continuing. The movie that we started out the series with, they're going to actually continue it.
And their managers called them at the same time.
And they had that, like, you know, we're going to say the same thing at the same time moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cute. They all got the news at the same time. But that leads us to the next stage of, you know, of the episode, which is the plot continues, and we have the photographer following after them. With every single move-in, he's like getting more suspicious about their relationship.
People never fall down the stairs until you tell them to be careful.
I know. I should stop telling people to be careful, right? It's a convenient plot device. It happens in real life too. You know, you tell a kid to be careful and he trips, you know, same thing.
So I don't understand. I know the tabloid pointed as like, they're having like sexy times, but it's like, when I think people would like to know this about the actors. Like, they weren't cheating on anybody. It'd just be like, oh, they're in a relationship.
Pretty much. But I guess it's just because, like, they haven't announced the fact that they're in a relationship.
But they're not idols. It's not like they're like, not allowed to have relationships. They're actors.
That's very, very true. But it also means, like, you know, they haven't... we don't know about their management. Because you're right. They are actors. They're not idols. Because idols have a different type of roles. Like, some of them, like, yeah, have a no-dating policy until at a certain time. You know, yeah. So I don't know what's so taboo about them having a relationship. Because it was weird. It was kind of weird that he brought up, like, the girl having a relationship. But it was, like, they didn't say what was so taboo about it. Because it was a girl. It was another guy. Obviously, it was a little bit more forbidden. Not forbidden, but it's a little bit more unique since they show, like Takato in, like, Azumaya's arms. Or this, like, unknown blonde's arms, you know, because it's obviously male. Because Japan is still not, like, you know, all accepting of, you know, this kind of relationship.
I'm sure they'd still have a shit ton of fans.
Yeah. So anyway,
maybe they'd get more fans.
Yes. So unbeknownst to that, like, you know, but, you know, we have that. And then it's just that. The point that I wanted to point out that is Azumaya suspected that, you know, they were being followed. They suspected something because he already knew, like, okay, someone was taking pictures at that time because he apparently heard, you know, the shutter clicks. But the funny thing is, I don't know why he did not, like, tell Takato. He never tells Takato anything.
The cold.
Yeah, exactly. So... I was like, not to mention, they only talked about it briefly, because Takato was saying, like, and he was already like, you know, oh, maybe it's my fault, like, I never brought up the fact, you know, revisit the fact that we should move in together, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, he was already thinking about that, but there was a one line that he said was like, oh, why is he not clinging to me anymore? You know, I don't, like, I was facepalming at that time, I was like, oh no, not again. I was like, you have to tell him. you just tell him that you guys can both be careful and not, like, you know, snog each other in public.
And send him an email, too.
Yeah, exactly. Send him a text, send him something, let him know, anything.
Or a bunch of emojis that he has to interpret.
Anything would be easier than just not telling him. Be like, we're just gonna go home. And then it makes Azumaya so, like, tense too. Like, he had to be like, I have to hold back this entire day. I can't do anything to you for the entire time, even when we're in the car together. So when we're in front of our house and we haven't even gone into the door, I'm just gonna snog you right there. I was like, okay, yes, Azumaya, this is what happens when you try to, like, control the situation. This entire series is all about, like, Azumaya not saying anything.
I think you're the only person I know in person who's used the word snog.
Oh. I've been listening to some English stuff, so snog came up a lot.
I watched Doctor Who, and there was one time she called it a snog box. By she, I mean Clara Oswald.
Oh, no. Well, why is it called that, though?
No, that's what she called it. She's like, I forgot exactly what the situation was. Like, she was like, is this your snog box? I said, it's not a snog box.
So that snogging means kissing. Azumaya just doesn't say anything. He doesn't. I don't know what to do with him.
That's why SMAs do not say stuff.
Exactly. What's wrong with them? They need to send signals. Fire signs, something. But anyway, it takes the Uke to try to save the day. Saijo pulls out of, you know, the drama.
He had to. Usaka told him.
Yeah. But seeing more of Usaka is pretty cool because he's a really nice character. We don't see more of his character, unfortunately, until later on in the series. So I don't know how much the anime is going to reveal about their relationship. Like,
well, they seem really close in the comic. Like, Saijo got drunk on his floor.
Later on, yeah. And you pointed out something really quickly in the series, which was Usaka calls Takaro, like, you know, by his first name. So, like, it shows, like, already that they're that close. And he's still giving him, like, the respect, just call him Usaka-san, because he is a director, you know. But there is, like, they have that closeness with each other. They can, like, you know, tease each other, but, you know, Usaka put his foot down. Like, you know, unfortunately, he's not able to, you know, continue with Saijo.
Well, he's got to give everybody equal treatment. He can't be like, this girl's not fine. You're fine.
And I'm glad Azumaya, like, he didn't just do the stupid thing, which was, like, I'm going to give up my career.
That happened in Embracing Love, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, so I remember it's something similar to that, too.
His name, Kato, punched somebody out who was hitting on Iwaki.
In public.
Iwaki's, like, don't do something so stupid.
Yeah, you're, like, ruining your freaking career. Because that is true. Like, relationship-wise, like, there's always another chance, but, you know, you guys can get together, but just, like, no, don't mess up your career. I'm glad Azumaya, you know, was able to remedy that very quickly. He understood what's going on. So sad, though, because Saijo is taking it upon himself. But with the photographer, they have a quote-unquote plan, and Saijo puts the plan in motion. They meet at the factory. I don't know how they met at the hilltop. Not factory, they met at the hilltop. I don't know how he got there, though. Do they ran up there?
Or whatever service in Japan exists that is like Uber.
It doesn't look like there's any bus stops over there. Most likely he just, like, took a car service there.
Maybe he took really long walks. Okay, so you remember Gavin? Not that you would forget. Anyway, Gavin, he walked from King's Highway to Prospect Park.
Oh my gosh. Well, me and Pandora once walked from Flushing all the way to Bayside along Northern Boulevard. It only took, like, less than 2 hours, actually. So that was really short, actually. It felt like a very long time.
Does Dora walk for, like, hours in Japan?
Yo, when I was in Japan, I walked for hours, too.
Ah, so maybe Saijo did walk.
All the way from the city all the way out to the hilltop.
Hey, maybe the reporter gave him a lift.
What, do you think he's, like, hiding in the background? So the episode ends on a cliffhanger. Saijo talks to Azumaya. How do you think Azumaya felt at that point?
I think Azumaya knows what's going on. He's just trying to get the whole picture in his head. I mean, he knows Saijo doesn't feel like he can throw him away.
That's true. But it was so, like, so...
Well, I mean, already he skimmed through all. I know what he's feeling.
That is true. When I saw the episode, I was, like, in tears. Like, close to tears. It was so sad.
Yeah, I thought... Oh, did I already say this? I thought about, like, just watching the, like, what last remaining episodes all together to be all happy.
May, we are here with you throughout every single episode.
So you're going to watch the next episode with me, too?
Of course. So we'll put Takayuchi aside. We're in tears. Yeah, between this and Banana Fish, I was like, why? Why is this all dead?
I purposely chose not to watch Banana Fish because...
Because you already know. But Ash wasn't the one who got shot. It was Eiji who got shot. And then that entire scene was like, oh my god. I know he will be fine, but Ash's like expression when that happened. And then after that, I watched Takayuchi and I was like, why did I do this? I'm like in tears.
Yeah, too bad there's no Honda to make you laugh.
I know. Honda! Recording on Saturday night, so we can't. Oh, Phoenix Wright is fine. The last episode of Phoenix Wright, they had a bunch of wieners. It was all good.
Is it still the game story?
It's still a game story. Oh, next episode, though. Thank you for bringing that up. Next episode for Phoenix Wright actually may be... Not maybe. I know it is because I played all the games. Except for Edgeworth, obviously. Is an anime original. It totally is.
The Edgeworth game, it might be on Android. I don't know. It was on iOS.
The English version? Cool. I totally want to play it. I kind of still want to play on my DS, though. Because there is the, you know, they did port it over. Like, someone did translate it. So, but I would be interested to check it out on the Android.
Well, but it'll be, like, the unofficial one, right?
Yeah. I want to check it out, though, because, like, a lot of fans worked on it, too. I want both of them. I want to see the translations and how it's done. But yes, the next episode for Phoenix Wright is going to be an anime original, which is nice because I always liked the same thing with Layton. I like that they created their story and there are a lot of, like, you know, there are a lot of parts to it because they stick really close to the canon and obviously because it's the same creators. So looking forward to Phoenix Wright. And it seems to be a multi-parter too because they're calling it, like, you know, first trial, second trial, you know, tournament, you know, that kind of thing.
When you get a single from iTunes and it's only one song, it's still like 01 something.
Oh. But they're calling it the same way they usually call, like, multi-parts. Because usually the trial ones are like three parts. We'll see how that goes. Even though I said that we're going to talk about it before, I never actually got to Liz and the Bluebird. So May reminded me, so we're going to bring that up today. We actually went to see Liz and the Bluebird, I think about 3 weeks ago. Wow, it's been like some time already. Actually, it's quite different because it's not really a BL. It's actually closer to a GL.
Were there even any guys? There were guys. Didn't go to an altar girls school, right?
There were guys in the school. Oh my god, I don't even remember. Because the girls were the main focus. Liz and the Bluebird is an anime series, an anime TV, it's an anime movie by Kyoto Animation. So it's in the kind of slice of life feel. Usually has, like, you know, it's usually a growing up story. And I was just telling May and the others about it. It was like so much like free second season because it's just about the girls like growing up, graduating, going off to, like, you know, like what they're gonna do next, what their plans are.
That part near the end where they finally got to hug each other, but they don't show, like, up their heads, they only show, like, you know, their shoulders or something.
It's
like, oh, it's like in Yuri on Ice when they kiss, but you don't get to see a kiss. Like, are they kissing?
No, May, I think they're actually a hug.
Girls don't do that, huh?
There are kissing girl-like movies, just not this one. I think this is most likely a hug. So Liz and the Bluebird, actually the title itself is referring to a book that's in the story.
Oh, is that a real book?
I don't think so. We can try to find it because it's like a really nice growing story, and the story itself is interspersed like throughout the entire movie, which I thought was like a really nice.
I forgot that music is used to tell stories, but like after they had like the flutes represent this stuff, I was like, oh, I remember, like in school, like
Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah.
I love that. That's one of the reasons why I love how music is like, you know, interspersed in the, and like, not interspersed, what's the word? Like music, like create themes for the story. So this is like a perfect movie for us. Like I really, that's why I really enjoyed it. Actually, one of the reasons why I went was actually my coworker suggested it. Yeah, because obviously with this movie that has so much estrogen in it, I'm not like as interested. But knowing that the animation,
we're Fujoshi.
Yeah, exactly, we're Fujoshi.
It's not even Fujoshi bait movie. It's just
yeah. There's no. There's as I said, we don't even remember if there's any guys in the movie. I'm starting to think there's not, but.
I think there were guys in the background.
Yeah, there were teachers.
Oh yeah, one of the teachers was a guy.
Yeah, one of the teachers was a guy.
As you see, there's at least one guy.
Takahiro Sakurai.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, some really like cool guys in there. Yeah. Oh, of course, this movie, Liz and the Bluebird, is set in the same world as Sound Euphonium.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talked about some kind of schism. I don't really know what they're referring to.
That I'm not too sure.
Well, it's something that happened
in Sound Euphonium.
Yeah.
So Sound Euphonium, some of the characters do appear there, and they actually take like really important, like, you know, storytelling roles.
Did your coworker watch Sound Euphonium?
Did she? I think she knows of it. I don't think she was following the series that closely. Yeah. Cause same, she really likes the animation studio Kyoani. Kyoani tells like really good stories. Like, you know, Halfway is like very little bit bittersweet. It's a growing up story. It's the same formula, but Kyoto Animation tells a story very, very well. So it doesn't matter how many times you see it. Right now, the series that's like ongoing right now is Tsurune. It's about archery, which I'm actually really, really into. So. I want to watch it. I haven't started the series yet, but I will in the future. Yeah, because I'm watching a whole bunch of other stuff. Work is really busy. I don't want to add another stuff to it. Because I know Tsurune is going to be one of those series, like, once I watch it, I'm going to, like, really hooked on it. As I said, it's like they tell the same story so many times, but so far, like, I haven't gotten bored of it. Like, they tell a story. They tell that kind of story very well. So the kind of story, as I said, I was alluding to is a relationship between Nozomi and Mizore. So, Nozomi, I'm trying to get, like, the characters.
One of them is, like, shy and only talks to the other one.
Yeah. So, Nozomi is on the flute. She's the one that's, like, outgoing. And Mizore is on the oboe. And she's the one that's, like, you know, she's very, very shy, like you were talking about. And, like, both of them are third years. They're going to be moving on, and they're trying to figure out, like, what they're going to do next. Mizore on the oboe is very, very good in music, and the teacher actually recommended her to go to music school. Nozomi, hearing that, was like, oh, maybe I'll do it too, even though she was, like, considering actually going to a regular school before. That was something that she was thinking about. And so, like, the story goes on, like, you know, seeing the relationship between the two, how they do that. And then you see Nozomi getting closer to, like, she's always been very close to her classmates and everything. And then Mizore slowly, like, you know, reflects off of that. And you can see, like, other people want to get close to Mizore, except, like, she's most comfortable with Nozomi.
Oh, yeah, I like how they are not like, oh, she's the weird girl, let's ignore
her.
Yeah,
they actually, all the Kohai really want to get close to her. And then she's like, yeah, it's like, they're even asking Nozomi, how do I get close to, like, Mizore-senpai, you know. So, and as for Liz and the Bluebird, the story itself tells similarly, like, you know, how Liz meets a young girl who actually is the incarnation of the Bluebird. I think they were talking about, like, I think her name in the story was just, okay, she's not called Bluebird, I forgot what her name was. She meets a young girl with blue hair because it's a fantasy story that that Mizore was reading. So Liz meets a young girl, and Liz is also really comfortable with, like, the animals around her, and, like, you know, she hangs around them, she feeds them on a daily basis. And then she meets a young girl who comes and lives with her. And if the young girl is the humanized form of the bird. So, and the bird wants to stay with her and wants to hang out with her every day, want to live with her. And then that their relationship grows. But Liz is like considering like what should she do, because, you know, she wants the bird to be free as well. So their relationship is like, you know, comparable to like Nozomi and Mizore's relationship as well.
But what are their names?
Mizore
and Nozomi, they both think that they're the girl who won't let go of the bluebird or something.
Yeah, they're letting go of the bluebird is like the constant theme of the story. And they're like thinking like whether they should do that.
Well, they think they're the ones holding the other one back.
Yeah. So each of them see themselves as Liz. It's such a beautiful story for it. I love how it's told. And like the animation itself is like so beautiful with like, you know, changing between like the flowy designs of the story, of the, you know, the story within the story, Liz and the Bluebird, with the concrete colors that they come up when they're actually in school. Because it's way more colorful when they're in the fantasy world when they're telling the story. Yeah, and in all of that, we have the concert that they're preparing for. Because Nozomi and Mizore has to play out the story, play out the theme that's supposed to be the love theme of Liz and the Bluebird.
And people think that, which one's the shy one? Mizore?
Mizore.
Mizore is like holding back.
Yeah, because that's what ultimately they found out. Because Mizore's like musical talent is like way better. Nozomi was trying to like, you know, was like, she thought at first that Nozomi was able to like match up to Mizore, but they found out that Mizore was actually trying to hold herself back so she can actually bear. And while she was holding herself back, unfortunately their melodies wasn't like blending together very well. And that's how like they ultimately found out that Mizore actually could like, you know, play much more freely.
Well, in the end, they do go their separate ways with their like studying, but then they meet each other after.
Yes. So like, there's a third option. Yeah, they set each other free, but they're actually still able to like, you know, meet each other. Yeah, which is ultimately, that's reality. It's like everyone's gonna go their own path, but like people can still meet. Like, you know, they're not gonna like, they may be going off into different cities, but Japan is not like so extremely large that you can't exactly see each other. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're still in school.
Yeah, at that point in time, they're still in school. So back to the girls' love. Now that we talked about all the serious part, all the themes and everything, what do you think of the love confession?
If this were BL, something would have happened. They would have done stuff in that classroom.
Oh my gosh, yes. When they were in the science classroom, they were there by themselves. First of all, that science classroom thing has been like, you know, ongoing throughout the entire like, you know, movie, where Mizore is in the science classroom feeding the blowfish and Nozomi's on the other side and they smile at each other, they wave at each other. And then finally at the near the end, like, you know, that's where they confronted each other and like, you know, tried to, you know, express their feelings. Literally express their feelings
really
for each other.
They don't say anything concrete to each other.
Yeah. But they said like, oh my gosh, now I can't even remember the lines, but they did have some sort of like, you know, okay, because they're reflecting off of the story Liz and the Bluebird, and Liz and the Bluebird, the Bluebird actually says to her like, I love you. Yeah, like Liz and the Bluebird actually confess their feelings for each other. Nozomi and Mizore in the science room actually said something similar to each other, like, not to each other, you're right, I think they said something similar like to other people about each other. Yeah, it's like how that person like means a lot to me,
and they hug.
Yeah, exactly. Quotes. They mean a lot to me. I care about them. I don't want to let them go. I don't want to hold her back. You know, that kind of thing. So much of those words. And then once they meet each other in the science room and then have a discussion with each other, yes, if this was the BL, they would have been all over each other. Instead, they have what May like was talking about, the hug. They have the hug.
Still thing is like Yuri on Ice.
Yes, but I'm telling you, this is exactly how Free went, because like in the second season where Makoto and Haruka are talking about their futures and then like they got back together again, because like Haruka was like totally pissed off at Makoto for not telling him that he was gonna go off and study. And then at the end they're just like, they were hugging each other. So second season, that's VL. Well, not really, it's Free. What's Kiwani? There's practically VL in there.
Is this the same studio that did the one with the girl who's going blind? Was that it? I can't remember.
That one, I don't know.
Was it a girl? Oh, going deaf.
Going deaf?
Yeah, is that it?
I feel like it would be, because they're really good at, like...
Where she jumped off the balcony and the guy saved her.
The one that we watched?
Yeah.
Silent Voice?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It is Kyoani. As I said, like, Kyoto Animation does a really good job with, like, you know, feeling stories. At the beginning, I wasn't thinking so.
I feel like nothing really concrete happened at the end of that one, too.
Silent Voice? Yeah. Well, the concrete thing is the guy stopped seeing everybody as, like, you know, paper.
All right.
He finally, you know, he sees people as their faces, and he's actually able to, like, communicate again. The biggest thing about Silent Voice is talking about the trauma that, like, they both experienced. The girl who actually went past her trauma and actually, you know, is going to continue her life. And the guy was like, oh, I met the girl again. I'm reliving my past trauma. And, like, actually having to, like, you know, go past it and actually go. Throughout that movie, I felt like he wasn't just intruding in her life. Just continuously intruding in her life.
But none of those, like, friends that were, like, had done each other wrong. It's not like they get their comeuppance or anything. They just keep living their lives.
Yeah. That was, like, the sad part about it. Well, that guy was the one who was, like, saying, like, you know, yeah, he wants to make up for it.
Well, I mean, like, those other friends.
Well, they're not the focus of the story, but even though, like, they do come, they are still around.
That's why I feel like these kinds of stories, it's like, nothing concrete ever happens. They just keep living their lives.
Mm. No, you're right. Especially when Kyoto Animation does it.
It's all really sad.
It is. Because, like, what they're known for is, like, slice of life. They did the K-On, they did all that. So it's like they're very big on slice of life. And so I feel like the recent animation, it's apart from K-On, they're actually talking about more serious things.
Yeah, I only saw one episode of K-On, but I liked it because, like, there are a bunch of girls that just decided to start playing instruments together, and they, like, sound horrible because that's what they decided to do. It's not like they practiced or anything before that.
They're, like, not exactly musicians before that. They're just like, let's try to play this instrument, and then they tried, and then they failed. Which is, like, actually very much opposite of, like, all the other stuff they did. Because, like, you know, Free, Tsurune, all that kind of stuff, they're actually about characters who actually know how to play whatever sport that they decide to do.
That guy with the glasses, like, sank the first time he tried to swim, right?
Except, yeah, we would have one character that is, like, you know, the character that's the dud, that's learning a new sport. Otherwise, everybody else is like, you know, I already done this already. I already know. K-On is like the opposite. K-On is like, everybody doesn't know how to play whatever instrument they do. Hey, but they get better. Ray, the guy that won the glasses, he got better.
He's like captain now.
Yes. He's the most enthused. I love Free. It's a good series.
I didn't watch it really because I don't like sports anime.
It's very good.
I only watched Yuri on Ice because you guys made me. Oh, but well, after the... And Not a Kiss, I watched.
Yeah. For Free, though, in the first season, it's, like, very big on competition. Until afterwards, it's, like, totally not about competition anymore. Like, this third...
Yeah, the big reason I don't like sports anime is because of competition.
Yes, and so I'm telling you, like, the third season for Free, nothing to do with competitions at all. It's just like they're swimming and they're trying and then that's it. And they like as I said, the second season is all about Haruka's, like, oh no, Makoto's going away. I don't know what to do. I only want to swim. That's why you saw the movie. The movie was all about, like, all the crazy stuff that they do together for Free. But back to Liz. Is there anything else you want to add?
I know it's not GL because it's not marketed that way.
Yeah.
But still thinking.
Oh yeah, and that was the funny part because at the end of that movie, me and May were like, yep, it's GL, and then my coworker who came to watch it with us was like, what are you talking about? and then we pointed out all the stuff that was, like, girls love related, like, you know, them, like, talking about each other, pining for each other, like, you know, the love confession scene, the hug scene, the reflection from Liz and the Bluebird, which was basically, you know, their romance scene. Yeah, it's all about that. Yes, and then my coworker was like, yes, I agree. Actually, on the 17th, we're going to be watching the second part for Haikara-san.
Oh, yeah, is it on your calendar?
Yeah. So, I guess next time we're going to be able to talk about that. I can't wait.
I read the ending off of Wikipedia. I can't wait that long for now.
Oh, my God.
When did we see the first part?
Just a few months ago? Earlier this year, okay? Earlier this year. Okay, I will tell you. It was,
Are we going to IHOP again?
We can go IHOP again. Yeah, it's like after July. I remember because I saw the trailer for Haikara-san when I was in Anime Expo. So it's got to be after July. We saw it probably like, you know, August or something. Half a year, girl.
Any case. Half a year if I know what happened. Okay, the series itself probably took forever, but still.
May has no patience, guys. May has no patience. Anyways. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.